There's a doctor and a patient having a conversation. Doctor says to the patient, "I have bad news and I have worse news." And the patient says, "Let's have it." And the doctor says, "Well, the bad news is you only have 24 hours to live." And the patient said, "I can't imagine what could be worse than that." And the doctor said, "Well, I forgot to tell you yesterday." That was a joke. Didn't really happen. You got it? Okay, good. If you came for most of the revival services, you would have noticed a theme that Paul shared with us about his journey through all his sorrow and trials and just the tragedy he dealt with and how God used it for his glory. It didn't make the pain any less, the sorrow any less intense. It didn't make it any better. But in the end, Paul told many stories about how people got closer to God or came to the Lord through his wife's loss. And basically, it boils down to this. If we're willing, even and especially in hard times, we can be used by God as an example of his grace in our life. I like to use the story of the Apostle Paul, one of the stories of the Apostle Paul in Philippians, and just share how our adversity, how God can use our adversity and turn it into his advantage or the advantage of those around us in helping them see Christ. Let me read a story to you. You may have heard this before. It's a little bit lengthy, but listen closely. One man's life provides a dramatic answer to the question, can God indeed bring positives out of troubled times? This young man's name is David, and he is an awesome picture of God using difficulties for good. For years, he viewed trials as something that affected only his external world, and any blow to what he owned or how he looked would discourage him and leave him feeling cheated. Today, David travels around the world talking with people about how he discovered that no matter what happens to the outside, it's the internal life that trials really touch. The bigger the trial, the more potential to see God's power and peace at work in the inner person. During the Vietnam War, David went through rigorous training to become part of the ultra-elite special forces team the Navy used on dangerous search and destroy missions. During a nighttime raid on an enemy stronghold, David experienced the greatest trial in his life. When he and his men were pinned down by enemy machine gun fire, he pulled a phosphorus grenade from his belt and stood up to throw it. But as he pulled back his arm, a bullet hit the grenade and it exploded next to his ear. Lying on his side on the bank of a muddy river, he watched part of his face float by. His entire face and shoulder alternately smoldered and caught on fire as the phosphorus that had embedded itself in his body came into contact with the air. David knew that he was going to die, yet miraculously he didn't. And I'll just pause there to say I have heard this story and I have heard him speak. He said as he was laying in the water and he had body parts floating around him, he said, "Man, I really have to pull myself together here." He was pulled from the water by his fellow soldiers, flown directly to Saigon, and then taken to a waiting plane bound for Hawaii. But David's problems were just beginning. When he first went into surgery, the first of what would become dozens of operations, the surgical team had a major problem during the operation. As they cut away tissue that had been burned or torn by the grenade, the phosphorus would hit the oxygen in the operating room and begin to ignite yet again. Several times the doctors and nurses ran out of the room, leaving him alone because they were afraid the oxygen used in surgery would explode. Incredibly, David survived the operation and was taken to a ward that held the most severe burn and injury cases from the war. Lying on his bed, his head the size of a basketball, David knew he presented a grotesque picture. Although he had been a handsome man, he knew he had nothing to offer his wife or anyone else because of his appearance. He felt more alone and more worthless than he had ever felt in his life. But David wasn't alone in his room. There was another man who had been wounded in Vietnam and was also a nightmarish sight. He had lost an arm and a leg. His face was badly torn and scarred. As David was recovering from surgery, this man's wife arrived from the States. When she walked into the room, took one look at her husband, she became nauseated. She took off her wedding ring, put it on the nightstand next to him, and said, "I'm sorry. There's no way I could live with you looking like that." And with that, she walked out of the door. He could barely make any sounds through his torn throat and mouth, but the soldier wept and shook for hours. 2 days later, he died. That woman's attitude represents, in many respects, the way the world views a victim of accident or injury. If a trial emotionally or physically scars someone or causes him to lose his attractiveness, the world says, ugly is bad. And consequently, any value that person feels he has to others is drained away. For this poor wounded soldier, knowing that his wife saw no value in him, was more terrible than the wounds he suffered. It blew away his last hope that someone, somewhere, could find worth in him because he knew how the world would perceive him. 3 days later, David's wife arrived. After watching what had happened with the other soldier, he had no idea what kind of reaction she would have toward him, and he dreaded her coming. His wife, a strong Christian, took one look at him, came over, kissed him on the only place on his face that wasn't bandaged, and in a gentle voice she said, "Honey, I love you. I always will love you. And I want you to know that whatever it takes, whatever the odds, we can make it together." And I'll pause there to say, at that point in the story when I heard this, the man said, his wife said, "You weren't that good looking anyway." She hugged him where she could to avoid disturbing his injuries and stayed with him for the next several days. Watching what had happened with the other man's wife and seeing his own wife's love for him gave David tremendous strength. More than that, her understanding and accepting him greatly reinforced his own relationship with the Lord. In the weeks and months that followed, David's wounds slowly but steadily healed. It took dozens of operations and months of agonizing recovery. But today, miraculously, David can see and hear. On national television, we heard David made an incredible statement. "I am twice the person I was before I went to Vietnam. For one thing, God has used my suffering to help me feel other people's pain and to have an incredible burden to reach people for Him. The Lord has let me have a worldwide positive effect on people's lives because of what I went through. I wouldn't trade anything I've gone through for the benefits my trials have had in my life, on my family's life, and on countless teenagers and adults I've had the opportunity to influence over the years." David experienced a trial that no parent would wish on their children. Yet in spite of all the tragedy that surrounded him, God turned his troubled times into fruitful ones. I don't remember the man's last name, but he has shared worldwide, I believe, his story. He has a prosthetic ear because of his injuries, and he makes a joke also that he can play the piano by ear, and he takes his ear off and pounds the keys. I want to say at the start of this message that my purpose in speaking on this subject of adversity and hard times is not to open up old wounds or to cause people to struggle or to have anxiety, but rather a reminder that God can use our hardest times to produce some of the biggest results. And I've watched over the years that I've been here now and watched some of you that are sitting here even go through some incredibly difficult times. And I've watched with amazement how God's grace was so evident getting some of you through some of these things that weren't humanly possible. And how you handled the adversity. And even watched as some of you showed love to others around you in the middle of the trial. And that's what I want to focus on today. How does God use trials and adversities to help us grow, show His love, spread His gospel message? And I've had you turn to Philippians chapter 1. And instead of reading through the whole passage at once, I just want to work our way through it. And starting, we're using the subject of adversity throughout this whole message. And starting with verse 12, I want to talk about how adversity can can help promote the gospel message. In verse 12, Philippians 1, Paul says, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel." Really important to pick out here that Paul didn't start by complaining about his situation. You know he was in prison, right, when he was writing this? He sat in jail, and he wanted to reach out to some people that were very close to him, the Philippian church, so he wrote a letter. And he didn't start complaining about his situation. Rather, he showed that it only helped to serve in the progression of the gospel. And I don't know what version you're using. In my version, it's furtherance. Some versions use the word advance. The progression of the gospel. It's a Greek word that's used to translate into furtherance or advance. It's a military term that describe engineers preparing a road for the advancing armies. They removed obstructions such as rocks and trees, and they made the way clear. And Paul's circumstances had removed barriers for the advancement of the gospel. And he was sharing how happy he was and how glad he was for that. If any of you are happy about a trial that comes into your life, please let me know, and I will tell you how strange you are. None of us are happy about struggles. But how many times have you noticed when you're going through something tough, people are more compassionate and willing to listen to you talk? Even complete strangers who at one time didn't really care to hear you talk suddenly want to hear more about what you want to say. I'll give you an example. Some of you have experience going to a resort and doing the timeshare sales pitch. You know, it's great fun. I do it every time we go to one simply because they offer pretty nice perks and it helps cut our vacation costs way down. And I've gotten very good at dealing with them. I actually kind of rather enjoy it. turning them down and making them upset at me. Anyhow, the year Alicia had her stroke, it was just a few months, like 2 months later, that we had gone down to Virginia on vacation. And the young guy that was our salesman, I told him right at the beginning, "Hey," I said, "we're not buying anything from you, just to let you know that." I said, "We're not." He said, "Well, you don't care about us? You just..." I said, "No." I said, "I'm not buying anything." He was very hot. But as time went on, he heard about Alicia having a stroke, heard about the stuff we went through, and you could have just seen the 180 shift in his attitude. Like, "Wow, there's more to you guys than I met the eye." And suddenly he was very nice. All because we shared a hardship. Difficult times really do open the doors to communicate more with others. It really does. That could be for several reasons, and we'll go into that more next. Because adversity can help our witness. A little bit of history here. The guards assigned to prisoners at that day when Paul was in prison, awaiting a hearing before Caesar, they were chained to their prisoners. So Paul would have been chained, to a Roman guard 24 hours a day. Four shifts a day for 2 years. Meaning that Paul had nearly 3,000 opportunities for witnessing to the Romans during his imprisonment. So look at verse 13 with me. "So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ." Paul is saying here, "I want to make it very clear, because of my circumstances, that I am imprisoned because of my bold witness for Jesus Christ." And that obviously allowed him to share the reasons why he was willing to go to jail for Christ. And as I said earlier, going through tough times really does open doors for witnessing. On one hand, people are more softened by difficult times. They're willing to listen. Or some may simply want to see, are you real? Do what you say you have, is it real? Will you keep your faith? Either way, the door's open. And it is through those times that we can show others how real God is to us, how he gave us grace through the trial, how he's giving us extra strength we didn't know we had, and so on. I mean, you could share situations where you've experienced that. I watched two people, and there's more than that. I'm just going to mention two. Two people in our church lived this out. One was Al. I watched Al as he went through his various treatments and whatever he dealt with over years, how he took opportunity as he had downtime at each one of his treatments to witness to people, to talk to him, to share God's love. It was pretty incredible. And I would be very surprised if those people he talked to still aren't impacted by that. He left an incredible witness. The other one I was thinking of was Susie. She told me how much she realized prayer, how much it meant to her to have people praying for her. And now, I think she still does it, but I know she has. If someone's talking to her somewhere, a complete stranger, and says something they're going through, she'll say, "Can I pray for you?" And she'll stop right there and pray for them. And that's a really powerful witness. Do you know those circumstances wouldn't have availed themselves if those tough times weren't there? It's not just anyone that can do that. There's most times has to be a trial involved. And again, we don't choose those trials. But if and when they come, let's determine to allow God to use us through those trials. Show others his grace. Show others his love and be that witness. So then what happens next is these adversities can strengthen and encourage other believers. If you look at verse 14, "And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Paul stated here that he was faithful during his hardship, and it encouraged others to be bold in their witness. And of course, one should understand that witnessing during this time period wasn't very easy. In fact, I would venture to say that it was probably harder to witness then than it is now. They were probably facing more obstacles then than we would now. Because this was a whole new movement, this Christianity. And they were probably viewed on as wax and a new cult and maybe dangerous. Who knows? I mean, who knows what they'd be capable of, right? But here, Paul's witness spurred these other believers to witness themselves. I think we all know this, but are you aware that people are watching? They're watching us to see if we'll deny the Lord when times get tough. Some are doing that. Others have a different motive. They're wanting to be encouraged by seeing if we'll stay strong and stay committed when times get tough. See, the first group are ones that are just looking for any reason to up. They said they were Christian, but obviously they're not. They gave up. The second group are believers who are struggling and looking for someone to show them how to stay strong in the middle of a trial. Some of you have been an incredible testimony of that to me, showing that even through tough times, God is faithful. Even through tough times, I can show love to others. We sure don't ask for hardships, but think about the boost to a struggling Christian when they watch someone's faith through a trial, a hardship. God truly is faithful. And what a reward then to see that person take up that mantle and start sharing God's love with others because you or I were faithful in the middle of our hardship. And what this does, this adversity, it shows the character of our true friends and of us also. I'm going to read this next portion in the NIV just because it words it a little better. It uses words we are more familiar with. Follow along with me from 15 to 18. "It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. What does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, I will continue to rejoice." What Paul is saying here is that some people were just using his imprisonment to their advantage. They were tired of his influence, of his popularity. Paul was a pretty popular guy. He had a pretty big following. And they wanted to use his imprisonment as an opportunity to diminish his influence with others. And even though their motives weren't pure, there was an indirect preaching of the gospel happening there, even though they didn't have Paul's best interest in heart. And then there were those that fully supported Paul. They were his close friends. They were with him. They wanted to continue his mission for him. So they spread the news of Jesus, knowing that he couldn't do it. And what Paul is saying is it really didn't matter what their motives were to him, as long as people were hearing about Jesus. Now, I'm not going to go into the depths of the arguments that were going on in that day, because basically, according to that culture, Paul was spreading false doctrines about the Messiah, and it was going against, you know, different things were going against the Mosaic laws. And I don't want to focus on the attitude. I don't want to focus on that part, but I want to focus instead on just the attitudes that were displayed. Hardships will really weed out those people who truly do care for us and those who don't, just as we saw here with Paul. So there were those that obviously weren't Paul's friends and were trying to discredit him. We have those in life. People say things that are very cutting, and one of them that bothers me severely is, if you had more faith in God, you wouldn't be going through this. I've seen and heard statements like that. I'm sure you have too. And it really, truly shows those that genuinely care about you and those that don't. There were those close friends of Paul who continued his mission for him. They cared about him. They believed in him. They supported him. And we have those type of people in our lives as well. Ones that genuinely care about us. They listen to us if we need to talk. But more importantly, they pray for us. But now I want to talk about Paul's character for a little bit, because difficult times also weeds out our character and shows people what we are really made of. Notice Paul didn't care if he was supported or not. He just wanted the gospel message to go out. He stayed faithful to Jesus even when others didn't support him. That's what matters. Even when people fail us, we have to stay faithful to Jesus and continue to show his love. I've experienced betrayal. I've experienced a loss of friendships. I don't understand it. And I know you've experienced things like that as well. You've talked to me about some of them. And there really isn't a straight answer and a clear answer for it. But what I know is this. We need to continue to forgive and love and show others what a difference Jesus has made in our lives. The biggest thing we should be concerned about is not so much whether people support us or not, but whether others are hearing about Jesus. And I want to tell you, that is a hard place to be, and a lot of maturing and growing in Christ to get to that place. But then that leads to the next thought, and that is adversity does bring growth in our lives. All trials are opportunities to grow, right? I've also told the Lord recently, give me a few growth-free days. I would like a couple of growth-free days. If anyone knew this, that growth brings, or trial brings growth, Paul knew it. And he shares a bit of his growth experience in 19. Wow, how did I write that? 19 to 12. Don't know. 19 and 20. Had to have been a computer glitch. It couldn't have been my fault. Follow with me, 19 and 20. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, and with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. The growth that Paul experienced was that no matter what happened to him, he knew that ultimate deliverance would be found in heaven with Jesus. He said, I eagerly wait that deliverance. That meant that no matter what happened here on earth, he would be eagerly awaiting, knowing that he would be in heaven with Jesus. But if that didn't happen, and being delivered on earth to live more, it would mean more sharing of the gospel. And delivered in eternity meant living with Jesus. It was a win-win. The maturity of Paul really rings out here. And to say whatever happens, I am eager to experience it, That's showing a complete trust in God. And I would just say, I think I have a long way to go on that level. Many times with growth comes pain. But we know that God is molding us into something that he can really use. And then finally, adversity puts life and death into perspective. Paul wanted to point out that as a Christian, his adversity really meant and really revealed the proper perspective on life and death. I want to work through from 21 to 26 and work our way down through there. So follow along with me, and let's just see what Paul learned. 21 says, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." He's saying here that really to live is awesome because I get to serve Jesus and share his love and spread his word, but dying means I go to heaven, so it's awesome either way. 22 says, "But if I live in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell, for I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." And Paul's saying, if I had to choose, I'm not sure what I'd choose, which is why it's important that that's not our decision. He said, I'd love to stay here, and I'd love to see Jesus. Verse 24, "Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again." And Paul realized there that the people still needed him. And he said he'd be happy to return and encourage them and help them in their walk with Christ. And what we can learn here from Paul is that he cared more about the people he worked with than he did his own life. And that's incredible, something that we can learn from. So many people today are only looking out for themselves. And if we can get to a place where we care for others, even a small portion of how Paul cared for others, I think we'll have done well. But if we can also learn from Paul that living for Jesus is so much more than a life here on earth, and a life lived for Jesus on earth is rewarding itself in itself, but an eternal reward, that should be so alluring that it shouldn't cause fear in us to leave this earth. And I know I've watched this. I've watched those of you share this. It gets easier with age. The older you get, the more alluring heaven becomes. I recognize that. That's just humanity. I don't think Josh and Emma are that excited about heaven right now. They have other things on their mind, you know? That's how it works. But the bottom line is this. Adversity should only serve to remind us that we have something so much better coming, so much better waiting for us when this life is over. All the pain and struggles will be over. And I'll be honest, I'm kind of for that. So the purpose of this message isn't to remind us and to bring back, oh, this is all the trouble you're facing. I didn't want to do that. But rather, I want to help us to place our troubles into perspective. They can help, and they should help us to grow. And they aren't forever. I think it was Paul that said this momentary suffering. Our troubles should also serve as a reminder to care about others when they're going through a trial. It's what Paul exemplified. And more importantly, it's what Jesus showed too. And I can tell you, some of the personal struggles I've gone through only give me increased empathy for those that go through similar problems. So stay strong, everyone. These trials we face from time to time, they're not the end. There's a better and a bigger end in sight. He sat by the fire of sevenfold heat as he watched by the precious ore. And closer he bent with a searching gaze as he heated it more and more. He knew that he had ore that could stand the test, and he wanted the finest gold to mold as a crown for the king to wear, set with gems of price untold. So he laid our gold in the burning fire, though we fain would have said him nay. and he watched the dross that we have not seen as it melted and passed away. And as the gold grew brighter and yet more bright, and our eyes were so dim with tears, as we saw the fire, not the master's hand, and we questioned with anxious fear. Yet our gold shone out with a richer glow, as it mirrored a form above, that bent o'er the fire, though unseen by us, with a look of infinite love. Can we think that it pleases his loving heart to cause a moment of pain? Ah, no, but he saw through the present cross the bliss of eternal gain. So he waited there with a watchful eye, with love that is strong and sure, and his gold did not suffer a bit more heat than was needed to make it pure. To close today, I think it would be appropriate to have prayer and a time of sharing. There are a lot of needs. Right now, I know Marlena, blood pressure is up pretty high, and baby's getting close. And Bev, I don't think Greg's anxious at all, but I know Bev is. Steve Bonebreak is going through probably the worst trial in his life, I would say. We have people that, can I say out of sight, out of mind sometimes happens? Like, we don't see Tim because of his struggle, but it doesn't make it any less real. We don't see Jack Horner, but his struggle isn't any less real. And Martha and Mary Jane. Sometimes when we don't see a person a lot, we tend to forget, and that's just normal human nature. I know Sue's sister is really going through a lot. And then we talked about Linda's brother. And then Gene had a request there a little while ago. I go Tuesday for my therapy and MRI, and I would appreciate prayer for that. Honestly, my back's been not feeling too bad this week. For some reason, my neck went wonky, and I had intense pain in my neck Sunday night through, and it's still really tight. I don't know what happened. I have a feeling it was all the stress just built up and just tightened all the muscles. You think of Peggy, it struggles daily. Is there someone else that just has something, maybe not long stories, just brief mention of something you're dealing with right now? John, you had said something earlier. I got it. Battle
going on inside my head and inside my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer for direction.
Somebody else? Monica? Let's pray for her.
She's a trooper. I will give her that. She did say that she will not go back through radiation, but she's willing to try chemotherapy again. But in reality, when I look at my sister, I do
Sure. I saw Diane, I think.
And I love tithing because sometimes I don't have enough, but God all the time brings me that I can tithe for friends. And I was shocked that we have a little bit of money, but I'm able to keep my tithes up the way I'm supposed to. But they keep saying, why, when you don't have your money? And also, I have a partial praise, and I went to the doctor the other day. My diabetic specialist, and she's told me my kidneys only have 44% oxygen right now. But it's okay. She said it's not serious yet. She said it's very low, so she told me, certain medicines are putting on that I don't know how to use yet. But I'm going to try. And also, I have good praise. I'm going to be going to Bahamas.
Yeah. Cool. Yep. Did I see some Jean?
I'm still struggling with pain. My leg is the roots of the lower leg, but it can sometimes hurt when I'm sitting or standing. My back is more likely to hurt when I'm moving, but it can sometimes hurt when I'm sitting or standing. My knees actually more likely to hurt when I'm sitting.
Sure. These bodies just don't behave sometimes. I don't know. And Lily still has problems with her shoulder, right? Well, yeah, but one thing I've discovered is we often, I don't have as bad as others, but you know what? When you have a problem, it's your problem and it's big. Whether it's as big as someone else's or not. Darling? Yeah, I forgot to mention her. I have her on my list, though.
I don't know what it's like.
You're a blessed person.
I am, but I just to hear their voice.
It gets very weak and shaky when you're in pain. Yep.
His knees are getting worse and his patience is even more worse.
I understand that. Bobby? Joey? Yeah.
I guess just for me, my head pain came up here. Obviously, I can't wait to get in there because I'm starting to get a little bit grumpy at times. I'm just being a little more patient.
I'm hearing that there's a common theme when people have pain, they get grumpy. So I can attribute to that fact that it is accurate, it is true, it does happen. Anybody else? All right. Well, I think it would be appropriate to close in prayer for these. And before I do that, I'll just real quickly give you the announcements. Remember, there is no church this evening. Next Sunday is Mother's Day already. Yep. And no church Sunday evening because of Mother's Day. Board meeting tomorrow night at 6:30, Sunday school meeting tomorrow, or Tuesday night at 6:30. And I have asked you guys to get back with me on dates that would suit you to get together, and no one said anything, so I need help here. Some, yeah, it's just as true. So ladies, tell me when your husbands can get together. Also, I have something from Jack Horner. He brought something to my attention. There's no pressure on this, just bringing it out to you. Jack really is interested in tracts, the gospel tracts. You've probably seen some laying down on the table downstairs. There is a ministry that you can get involved with, buy tracts, and then set a rack up at various places, and people can get them and look at them. And there's some pretty cool stories of people reaching Christ through tract ministry. I personally, it's not one of my excitements because I have seen tract ministry used negatively, but it can be a very positive thing. So I'm sharing that for him. He would like me to share that with the church. If anyone is interested in doing something like that, come talk to me and I can give you the information and see if you know you'd be interested in doing something along those lines and give you some samples of tracts and whatnot. All right. So I'm going to close in prayer. When I'm done praying, you can consider yourselves dismissed, but I just want to make sure we know that we serve a big God that cares about us. Even though sometimes it feels like he's far away, he's not. And he's helping us grow. We'll let him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word today and for the incredible truth that you are with us always, even though sometimes we feel alone and we feel in a dark place. We know that you have promised that you will never leave us. We think of this whole list of requests that were mentioned here today, of struggles that are on people's hearts and burdens people are bearing. And we think of those that we don't get to see very much anymore, but doesn't make their struggle any less real. Think of Martha, Mary Jane, and Tim and Jack, and just their ongoing struggles they deal with. Think of Corleen and the pain she's dealing with, and also her stress levels of all the family, the stuff that the family is dealing with. Lord, would you please give her a strength and a touch and healing and help Larry, bless him. Continue to be with Joe as he's working through some of the challenges that he's dealing with, and continue to help him. Be with Sue's sister and the challenges she's dealing with, and would you strengthen Sue? Would you be with Steve Bonebreak in a special way this morning and the family? Lord, we don't know the outcome. We know you do. And we know that you have this in control, and even though we feel like it's out of control. And I pray that you'll give a special touch to Steve especially. Give him healing, if it's your will. And then also, would you strengthen and keep the family strong in you? Be with Linda's brother and the health issues he's dealing with. But we thank you for allowing that to help someone to reach out to you. Be with John as he's dealing with a low time in his life spiritually, that he has battles he's facing, and I pray you help him as he is feeling Satan's attacks. Be with his sister as she's struggling physically with his cancer, and would you give her a special touch? Be with Kelly's niece as she is just dealing with cancer for some time, and Lord, would you help her to feel you right there with her? Diane and her kidney trouble and the challenges she has there, would you help this to be managed and help her to be able to feel well, to be able to do what she wants to do here at the end of the year? Be with Jean as she's struggling with pain, and we all know what pain feels like, and Lord, would you help heal this situation? Be with Lily and her shoulder, that you would bring healing there. Be with Ron as he's still struggling with his knees. Would you give him strength and encouragement? And help Joey this morning as she's dealing with some various things related to her ongoing struggle physically. Pray it would just help her to lean on you. And be with Bobby as he's getting ready for this upcoming surgery. Help that to go well and give him peace about it. Lord, we praise you that you sent your Son to die for us. And we thank you, Jesus, that you sent your Spirit to be with us daily. And I pray that you help each one of us to leave a testimony of your love and grace to those around us, that they'll see you shining through us. We thank you and we praise you in your name. Amen.